Good evening, folks. While the collapse of modern agriculture is accelerating, today a major domino falling as India government moves to ban the export summarily of any of their onion crop, what's left after the terrible monsoon season this year. Of course, we've been watching that. There's been tremendous cost of life and on animals and infrastructure, but also on agriculture. And now some of that is coming home to roost. So Indian government is banning all exports across the board of onions outside of that country. We're going to keep every last onion we can. They're not going anywhere. And that means contracts that had been promised are not making delivery. You know, things just shut down when a country has to prioritize feeding its own citizens and maintaining order so that the government can stay in power. After all, that's what they do, is stay in power. That's their only raison d'etre. All right, so India was also one of the main exporters of onions globally. So when they shut down that entire export, this is a, you know, this is a disturbance in the force of global transnational agriculture, the modern agriculture that we've been watching collapse for some time. And those cracks in the edifice of the system that feeds the majority of people on this planet are growing. And folks, it's time to get off of these broken systems. From Bloomberg, the great onion crisis is back, to Modi's dismay. And this mentions that he's sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place as the government is, quote, in a dilemma. It is seeking to keep food inflation contained, as I said, so it can maintain order. But it also has this promise to raise farm incomes. And so it's pretty much stuck there. Any measure to artificially depress the price of onions will spur a backlash from the onion farmers. And down here it concludes, it is the farmers who are going to suffer in this process. Bottom line, they're always penalized to keep consumers happy. And that's what we see happening in the U.S. as the USDA lies about the numbers, throwing the farmers on the bus. And so I ask, will we see Indian farmers taking to the streets much like we saw the orange vest, the Italian olive farmers who donned orange vests and went out to demand compensation when late season frosts killed off their olive trees? Or will they join the Dutch farmers who just took to the streets with their tractors stopping traffic to protest the fact that they're always thrown under the bus for climate change? I don't know, but it's interesting to watch this trend continue. It's another point on that data. But also, it's as I said, it's a major turning point to see a major exporter of a crop just shut down. Never mind those agreements we had in place. We're keeping our onions. You can go grow your own. And you better be growing your own. It's also reminiscent to see the domestic onion prices in India spiking so significantly of the situation where Chinese domestic apple prices had spiked so much that people were tweeting about fruit freedom, and that became the number one trending phrase on social media for a bit there. But we woke up this morning here in the U.S. to a series of some cold temperatures, many locations effectively ending the growing season this morning across the western to northern plains, temps ranging from the upper 20s to lower 30s. And if that one didn't get you, then this one next week will. Data coming in from a massive cold blast late next week across the central U.S. If those trends continue, then yeah, you can expect widespread frost and freezes across the Corn Belt. So a little bit of a heads up there, as well as just sort of as expected, right? As we've been discussing and anticipating, and it's going to have really detrimental effects, to say the least, to both the beans, the soybeans, and the corn, and the seed corn. All of these things we've been talking about here on the Ice Age Farmer channel. The record worst planting ever, the latest soybeans you can see here, dropping leaves. And all of these indicators that the U.S. is going to have a really bad season. This headline effectively confirming what I'd said in my video yesterday, that we're having now a wet end to the 2019 season, just as we had a really wet beginning. We're running low on seed. They actually dipped into next year's seed for 2020. And there are some real challenges facing us here, folks. The early soybean yields that have been collected are starting to confirm that the USDA's numbers are way too high. I think we're going to see another markdown there, no doubt whatsoever. And then from this piece, concern of a hard freeze this week in the upper Midwest. Yes, Farmers are nervous about the hard frost freezing yields, spring planting delays, and a relatively cool summer in some parts of the Corn Belt have slowed crop maturation. And I just want to point out, this is exactly what we've been confirming when we go quantitatively look at the amount of heat available to your crops. I've updated the growing degree days tool at iceagefarmer.com/GDD with the new data set. So now you can look at the data set through the end of September as of just a few days ago. The original tool, which I've kept here, if you just use the August data, then you'll get the values that I had in that original video. That way people don't come here and they say, hey, it's totally different than you originally told me if they're still watching the old video. But if you're interested, you can return to this site now and see, okay, I had a really warm September. Did that fix my problem? And I will just tell you right now, it did not. A number of places improved from their percentage. It was a warm September in some places. There were other places that got colder even. But by and large, the values for almost any state or zip code you can try yourself in this tool will confirm to you that there was less heat available to crops this year than there was in 2018, a precipitous drop off. Over this weekend, we saw rain and snow come to Saskatchewan. Some crops have been flattened and downgraded to livestock feed by this rain and snow. And I wanted to point this out too, because I'm seeing a rising tide of this. Farmers face much higher costs for grain drying, and we're hoping for a rebate. But like I said, I'm getting a lot of reports of this. Here's one. I'm trying to be a grain producer. The seasons are getting too short. There's that shrinking of the growing seasons on both sides. Any chance of me breaking even, basically, are gone this year. I can't finish my barley without spending a fortune on propane to dry my crop. So there again, you're seeing that even if farmers are able to harvest, things are so wet after this terribly wet season that it's prohibitively expensive to harvest and then dry. And propane prices, I've been tracking this a few weeks ago, had been rising. So all of these things coming together in ways that unfortunately we could foresee, but people just didn't want to imagine it happening. And another report of extreme hail here in Italy, some of the harvests knocked down, stone fruit knocked down 65% of the entire production at some of these sites. So the hailstorms, the precipitative extremes, the shrinking of the growing season. There's a reason I use these phrases over and over. For one, because these things keep happening, but for another, because it's exactly what we can expect to see more of. Now, if the U.S. is too wet, then, as we mentioned last week, certainly South America is experiencing some extreme droughts, but also Australia is way below where they need to be right now for their precipitation. So here's their 8-month, let's zoom in, their 8-month rainfall deficiencies. And you can see these big chunks of darker red are actually the lowest rainfall percentile on record. And the 8-month is not much better. A lot of this is accentuating these issues with their crops right now. So here's an article, Sunrise cuts more jobs in New South Wales after second lowest rice crop on record. And that would be only 54,000 tons out of the usual 800,000 tons. So that is a terrible season. Now this piece speaks mostly about the terrible management of water and the fact that water prices have gone up as a result of that. But it doesn't mention at all that Australia is experiencing really bad drought in a number of areas right now. So I'll just sort of leave that as an open question, what you think is actually at stake there. But I mean, as a reminder, it's not just rice, Sun Rice, that's having issues. Australia Grain Corp was trying to sell off their core business of grains and having massive problems given their struggles with the drought and getting grain crops produced. So Australia really demonstrating some turbulence. European Union also singularly responsible for dropping the global cherry production numbers this year. We read here, EU production projected to fall by more than 20% because of the hailstorm. Again, the hailstorms that affected varieties in Italy, and then frosts and low temperatures that caused significant loss of fruit in Poland, which was the main producer from the EU. So that precipitous drop-off of cherry production in Europe was enough to offset a few of these other smaller increases, meaning that cherry production falls. So it's just, there are signs of what's going on everywhere. And also, we've covered the record-breaking Montana blizzard the other day. Just wanted to follow up with some of the data coming out now that people are getting their damage reports in. Many ranchers still had their cattle out doing summer grazing. They were caught completely off guard by this surprise September blizzard, and they were planning on keeping animals there another 3 weeks or so. Can you see the shrinking, again, the shrinking of the growing of the seasons on both sides? There's a reason I keep repeating these phrases. He said some were able to move their animals, but they didn't have enough time to get them out. And so we read some producers are actually still looking for their animals, which is very sad. We won't know exactly what's happened for a while yet, but it's never a good thing. Hungary apple production falling partly due to frost damages, partly due to the lack of rainfall. And you don't get this data in until the end of the season. That's why these numbers are coming out now. Now, folks, tonight there was a freak out session. This lady stood up and said,
"I'm not going to be here for much long because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this: we got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem.
It's really scary and sad to see the result of MK Ultra writ large across the entire global population when they take this trauma-based mind control method and apply it via the media to everyone. And they've gradually now pushed the entire population, especially the youth, to such extremes that people are just, they're losing it. They're completely losing their minds. And it's, you know, you may find this funny, but there are sad situations as well here where I was not able to confirm this report, but I have no doubt that this is happening. There's a 14-year-old, the report of a 14-year-old child who committed suicide because of climate change, because of global warming, and, you know, there's no future. And this is what happens when people are told, especially kids are told, there is no future. In fact, here's a piece, "The Devastating Rise of Eco-Anxiety." Psychologist says that school kids are freaking out. This is traumatic for them to be told that they have no future. They enter a state of learned helplessness, which is what was studied. Let's see, where it is. Yes, Mr. Greenfield said the feeling of learned helplessness leads individuals to stop trying because it's so overwhelming. This is the same thing that happened when they took dogs into a cage and then shocked them if they touched a bar, and then they started shocking them even if they didn't touch the bar, and eventually the dog just doesn't do anything, just goes into the corner and stops eating, stops drinking, doesn't want to do anything because he knows he's going to get shocked. He's just trying to, I mean, it's just miserable. And these kids are in that exact, they're reaching that exact same state. So friends, don't let friends believe in global warming. It's time to get out there and aggressively spread the word about the natural cycles of climate, the grand solar minimum, the fact that the magnetosphere is waning, the fact that galactic cosmic rays cause these precipitative extremes and the shrinking of the growing seasons. All these phrases I've been repeating are demonstrably associated with these periods. And I wanted to also point out that there, you know, it's when I say it's working, these crazy people are being weaponized and they're being told we need to start eating each other. This is the Swedish scientist that I covered a few weeks ago, but here's a new piece of information on that front. The San Diego Museum of Man is doing an exhibition right now where they ask straight up, could you be a cannibal? And so I just want you to witness the normalization of this idea. Ask yourself, could you be a cannibal? And this gets everybody that walks by this museum to think to themselves, about eating human flesh. So this is really a devious piece of media right here. And of course, they're also saying we're going to criminalize eating normal meat, not human meat. You can eat each other, you just can't eat meat. We're going to call it ecocide. This is what happens when you take these weaponized population of Extinction Rebellion and Animal Rebellion and take them in a state of learned helplessness. They will take away other people's rights. They'll have no problem doing it. And of course, the multinational companies are all signed on to the Paris Agreement and to this idea that we should be reducing carbon emissions and removing natural choices from your food selection. Most of these, like Danone, which produces, you know, yogurts and a ton. These are huge ag food conglomerates, Nestle, Sodexo. To see them signed on to this idea that we have to reduce people's access to food is just as damning as the crop losses we're seeing right now, folks. The food production, the food system, your food is under attack from all sides. Realize this, appreciate it, and then start preparing. That's where we are now. If you want to take away our cars, our ability to move around, this is a program. It always has been. Friends don't let friends believe in global warming. Here's a new article from No Tricks Zone, which is just an addendum to their hundreds of articles from previous years indicating the solar forcing of climate and the link between solar activity and climate change. So here's 55 new papers from 2019 to add to that list. Pass these around to your sciencey friends who are needing a dose of reality, and maybe they'll set them on the right track. Here's another one, Tony Heller's video that's gotten a lot of views because it's a really nice, concise package of messaging and how the temperatures have been manipulated to create this perception of warming. And this is the first step, folks. We need to first inoculate everybody around you against this hoax of global warming and then chip away and get them thinking about the future. Because the massive web of multinational, transnational, modern agriculture is collapsing, and we all need to be building local communities of resilient food production today. Let's go do it. Thanks for watching. Take care.